Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had.
And the reason I'd like it to go quickly, very simple. It's so simple. Because it's unfair to him at this point. What his wife is going through, what his beautiful children are going through, is not describable. It's not describable. It's not fair. I think it's fair to do it to me because, you know, I've been going from day one. I've been from long before I got to office. You've been doing it. It's almost became, I think for me, it's like a part of my job description to handle this crap.
You said this crap when you referred to, I've been dealing with this crap for years. What did you mean?
Oh, I think the press has treated me unbelievably unfairly. In fact, when I won, I said, the good thing is now the press finally gets it. Now they'll finally treat me fairly. They got worse. They're worse now than ever. They're loco, but that's okay. I put up with it. The interesting thing is, though, nobody asked him about what's happened in the last 25, 30 years during his professional career, because there were no bad reports. I mean, there are bad reports on everybody in here. Most of the people sitting down, they're bad, except for Mike Pence, by the way. And now for you Democrats, and I guess I'm including you too, the media, right? I consider you a part of the Democrat Party. But for you, for the Democrats, to be talking about we want more time for the FBI. If you wanted more time for the FBI, why didn't Dianne Feinstein bring this up? I really believe that he was very strong on the fact that he drank a lot. And so I don't know where there'd be big discrepancy.
Okay, so
yes, go ahead,
just
please.
Just to wrap
please.
Up, can you promise
you know
to
what?
Release
you've really had
the
enough.
FBI's report?
Hey, you've had enough.
All right, that was the president on fire at a press conference earlier today. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program as we are back in our nation's capital. This is going to one way or another be a historic week, and we have a lot going on. I'll tell you as the program unfolds. So what was supposed to be last week, something that would be limited in scope, they were just going to investigate Professor Ford's allegations, and they were going to do it expeditiously. Well, now they never had any such intention, any way, shape, manner, or form. Now we've got a Democratic U.S. Senate has sent out a press release. In it, they say, Democratic senators, FBI must investigate all three credible allegations of sexual assault against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And that would be, by the way, I read the FBI is already looking into allegation number two, which was the New Yorker piece. This is by Ms. Ramirez. And remember, even the New York Times couldn't go with that story. They had reported that they interviewed several dozen people in an attempt to corroborate her story. They couldn't find one person with firsthand knowledge. And then they reported that Ms. Ramirez herself was contacting former Yale classmates, asking if they recalled the incident and told some of them that she could not be certain Mr. Kavanaugh was the one who exposed himself. Now, that's what they're saying. And remember, she admitted she quickly became inebriated. She had gaps in her memory, foggy, slurring her words. So that's what the Democrats are saying. This is a credible allegation. Well, if it was so credible, why didn't they ask Judge Kavanaugh when he sat in front of them last week? Because they all had the opportunity to delve into anything they wanted to delve into, and they chose not to. Then we've got the third incident, which is the Avenatti case, where a woman claims that routinely, almost on a weekend basis, and she had been to 10 of these parties herself personally, that there was Brett Kavanaugh and a bunch of prep kids that were drugging girls and then lining up in the hall waiting their turn to rape innocent girls. And a whole series of allegations here. Look, as Byron York said, the goalposts have moved very, very far away very, very quickly. And all the people, but now it's just going to be a week, limited scope, no big deal, just an FBI investigation. You want to clear your name, right? You'd want to clear your name, right, Judge? It's not about clearing his name. It's about giving them more time so they can come up with more allegations. And it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Democrats do not even want a vote on Judge Kavanaugh. And they want to continue the smears, the slander, the lies, the besmirchment, character assassination, frankly, the political bludgeoning of Judge Kavanaugh and his family. Now, as evidenced by, now remember, Dianne Feinstein had this for 6 long weeks. She had this back in July. There was a California state, California congressman that had it early July, and then they went to Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein, on 2 separate occasions, was meeting with Judge Kavanaugh. And then, of course, we had the original hearings, and not at one point did Dianne Feinstein ever mention Professor Ford, but while she was meeting with him privately, she was simultaneously recommending lawyers to Professor Ford, and one that was eventually chosen was Deborah Katz. And she is the lawyer that represents Professor Ford, but which is fine. But she has a history of, challenging Paula Jones and supporting Al Franken. So, in other words, she's radical left political. The attorney is. And so, anyway, there were emails sent out, we just found out, late last week of a friend of this attorney for Professor Ford, this Deborah Katz woman. And she was in the hearing. She was sitting to the right of Professor Ford, or to the left on your screen if you were watching the hearings. Anyway, it goes on to say that emails were sent by a friend of Deborah Katz, the lawyer representing Professor Ford, recommended by Dianne Feinstein, and they were soliciting women to accuse Judge Brett Kavanaugh of impropriety. And this is what they were sending out last week. Well, we just need an FBI, very expeditious, very quick, very limited in scope. They have been and continue to be on a fishing expedition. Now, the emails were obtained by the Washington Free Beacon seeking corroboration from classmates of Kavanaugh about yearbook entries and gang rape. And one email sent late last week, delivered to roughly 50 alumni of Stone Ridge School of the Sacred Heart, an all-girls school near Georgetown Prep, with the subject line, corroboration needed. Deborah Katz needs to find people who are familiar with what the slang terms were used by Brett Kavanaugh on his yearbook page meant, and the devil's triangle and the FFFFF wordings in there. If you can speak to any of these or are willing to sign an affidavit, please contact us. That's a fishing expedition. And this is what the Democrats wanted the delay for. Now, if it was truly limited in scope, and we know that in the case of Professor Ford, that there were 4 people she mentioned were at this party. Some don't remember ever being, even her best friend, don't remember ever being at a party where Brett Kavanaugh was at under the, felony of perjury. I mean, under the penalty of a felony here. So they all signed these affidavits. They all agreed that they didn't have any recollection. And the most difficult part of it is Professor Ford identified an eyewitness to the event. That eyewitness has said, under penalty of a felony, that it never happened, what Professor Ford is claiming. And this is Professor Ford who put Mark Judge in the room at the time of the alleged incident. So I'm not sure what the FBI really can do in this case beyond see whether any of these people are going to admit that they committed perjury and gave false statements. There's nothing else really left for them to do. Please use your voice. You will not get a second chance, this letter goes on to say. I mean, well, at this point, you're pretty much just soliciting, randomly anybody to come forward. Please, please come forward. And then the hope is that it'll be delayed again and again and again. And, on top of that, then we've got you know, what was supposed to be limited in scope, what was supposed to be done expeditiously in a week, now is turning into, because they can't get anything else, at least not that we know of yet. Who knows what Dianne Feinstein knows? Then the only thing they've got is, well, did he commit perjury about the amount of alcohol that he drank? You know, did he really black? How would anybody know if he blacked out? That's only he would be able to tell you if he blacked out. Now, he admitted to drinking, to liking beer a lot, still liking beer, drinking too much beer, you know, being intoxicated. He admitted to all of that when he was in high school and college, which not all that uncommon. Let's be honest about it. And so they're trying to say, well, we know he had to have blacked out. Listen, I worked as a bartender for a number of years. I know a lot about alcohol. I watched it up close and personal. You know, everybody's got a number. For some people, the number's two. And after two, they lose it. For some people, there were people that every single night I worked could sit there from 6 p.m. to 4:30 when I closed the doors and had to throw them out. And they'd be walking straight, having been drinking all night. I mean, the tolerance levels from individual to individual is just, it's enormous. You know, you'd see some people, if they go beyond their numbers, they become aggressive or flirtatious. I saw it all. I learned a life's lesson, and it wasn't good. If you go beyond whatever your individual number is, it's never going to be good for you or anybody else, for that matter. Anyway, so we got that, and so it's not about limited in scope. There's a lot of news. I don't know where the clock is. Mark Penn wrote an interesting piece, which I found today, and he said that he's a pollster, was the Clintons pollster, and he noted today that in the immediate aftermath of last Thursday's testimony by Professor Ford and Brett Kavanaugh, a slim majority of those surveyed sided with her, but the support for Professor Ford collapsed when voters were told that none of the three witnesses she cited to corroborate her allegation have any idea as to what she's talking about. And that fact was barely mentioned during Thursday's questioning, and it was only mentioned, if you remember, at the end of the questioning. One of the things that we're saying, that we see a new poll out by Remington Research Group, because the election is 36 days away. I want you to think about 36 days from now when you turn on your TV on election night, and do you want to hear the words Nancy Pelosi has just been elected Speaker of the House and Chuck Schumer is the new majority leader of the United States Senate? Because that's what the Democrats want. Now, if this does not show you, this is not a party that wants to make America better, that has a plan to help the working men and women, forgotten men and women of America. As a matter of fact, with every bit of success the president has, it diminishes any chance they have at getting back their power. And after 2 years of trying to destroy the president, you know, they want to crescendo their way back into power, just forgetting the 8 years of Obama, which were disastrous. Anyway, so we've got this election. You're going to tune in that night, and you're going to flip the channels, and you're going to be watching news channels, and you're either going to be seeing happy anchors all over the country, or you're going to once again shock the world, and you're going to defy the odds, and you're sick of their agenda, this bludgeoning of Kavanaugh, the agenda to just destroy Trump, the agenda of higher taxes, they want their crumbs back, the agenda of open borders and eliminating ICE, the agenda of keeping Obamacare, the agenda of no originalists on the court. They want judicial activists on the court. That's what you're going to do 36 days from tomorrow, 35 days from tomorrow. That's what you're going to tune in. What is that, 5 weeks? It's not very long. 5 weeks is election day. And you get to decide whether or not those anchors are going to be happy or sad. Claire McCaskill, Bill Nelson, Joe Donnelly, Heidi Heitkamp. You know, you going to elect these people back? Joe Manchin?
With only a kite, a house key, and wet hemp string, Benjamin Franklin captured lightning in a bottle. Over 260 years later, with a little resourcefulness, ingenuity, and grit, we're not only capturing energy from the sun and wind, we're storing it, ensuring Americans have the energy they need whenever they need it. Learn more about the nation's leader in energy storage at nexteraenergy.com.
So it's relevant with voters as to whether or not they hear that the people that were supposed to corroborate Professor Ford's story, whether or not they do or not, which seems like a fairly simple task for the FBI. You would talk to these four people, and if they offered anyone else that they can get in touch with. You know, I read James Comey's piece today, and I'm like, or last night, and there's something really off with James Comey. Now, I love the FBI. I think the world of the FBI. I have friends in the FBI. I had family in the FBI. I had family all over law enforcement. And he's like, the FBI's back in the middle of it. When we were handed the Hillary Clinton email investigation, the director said to me, you know, you're totally screwed, right? Well, maybe he shouldn't have written the exoneration before the investigation. Maybe, you know, if he understood what the Espionage Act said, maybe if he understood what obstruction of justice was, he wouldn't have taken lightly 33,000 deleted emails and bleach bid and breaking up devices with hammers and so on and so forth. And he goes, oh, those were the good old days. Then he goes on to trash the president on every front, believing every left-wing narrative about what is said about Trump. Then he goes on to how the FBI agents are experts at interviewing people and quickly dispatching leads to their colleagues around the world to follow up with additional interviews, unless limited in some way by the Trump administration. Well, it was the Democrats that said they wanted limited scope. They wanted a one-week timetable delay. That was it. They will confront people with testimony and other accounts, testing them, pushing them in a professional way. Agents have a much better nonsense detector than partisans because they aren't starting with a conclusion. You mean like he did? And then he actually said that, you know, and then there are people that won't talk. And he said, well, that speaks volumes. Refusal to do so is its own kind of statement. Why would anybody, after Michael Flynn, after, what's that kid's name, Papadopoulos, why would anybody talk to the FBI without a lawyer, considering if you make one little mistake or don't make a mistake in the case of General Flynn, they'll still charge you with lying to the FBI? All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. We are in our nation's capital. Yeah, a lot happening this week. Democrats now raising the bar, what they said would be all limited in scope. Oh, no. Now they're demanding a full-fledged FBI investigation into everything. And they're even telling the FBI how to do their jobs. And James Comey is suggesting, well, if you don't talk to the FBI, this is pretty amazing to me, you know, just to use his exact words from his op-ed, most people will speak to them, refusal to do so is its own kind of statement. Now, the problem with that is, if you don't remember something perfectly with the FBI and you're talking to them, it's a crime. It's a felony. And if you don't believe me, ask General Flynn. And if you don't believe me, ask Papadopoulos, who faced 5 years in jail. You know, the idea that, yeah, the FBI is back in the middle of it. You know, you're screwed. That's what, you know, when I was handed the Clinton email investigation, the deputy director said to me, you know, you're totally screwed, right? Well, maybe he shouldn't have been writing in May before he interviewed Clinton and before he interviewed any of the other 17 witnesses. Maybe he shouldn't have been writing the exoneration before the investigation. He wasn't screwed if he did it right. There's no greater, bigger case, slam dunk case for obstruction of justice than Hillary Clinton deleting subpoenaed emails and bleach bit. Nobody knew what bleach bit was prior to Hillary Clinton using bleach bit on her computers. Nobody takes a hammer and busts up their old BlackBerries or iPhones. Now, you may take out the SIM card, you know, when you throw it away so somebody doesn't recover personal emails between you and your friends. That would be okay. Taking a hammer, destroying it, busting it up. I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. If that's not obstruction of justice, I don't know what is. And then lying about top secret, classified, special access programming information in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet for the very purpose of avoiding congressional oversight. It's a kind of a slam dunk case. And anyway, he goes on to, but we live in a world where the president routinely attacks the FBI because he fears its work. No, he attacks the upper echelon of the FBI. You, Mr. Comey, you personally. And he fired you. And you obviously resent the hell out of it. And you're angry about it. And you're the one that was working with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, Trump haters. And, you know, your friend Peter Strzok, it's 1,000,000 to 1 Hillary should win. 100,000,000 to 1, rather. So when there's bias that takes over the top levels of law enforcement with all the powers of the top level of law enforcement or intelligence, that's when we as a society are in deep trouble. If we don't have equal application of our laws and equal justice under the law, then we're also at risk of this constitutional republic collapsing. If you only go after the people you don't like and not the people you do like, if you try to influence an election, that's a problem. When you sign your name to a FISA court surveillance application and literally never corroborate or verify the information you're signing on to so you can spy on an opposition party campaign in the lead up to that campaign. Remember, you signed it in October of 2016. And then you were telling Trump before he became president in January of 2017 that it was salacious and unverified, the dossier. Now we know that the dossier with the hookers, you know, this is the thing. There's no end to this. All of the smearing, bludgeoning, all of the character assassination, it doesn't matter to any. It's about power. This is what America needs to understand here. This is why Hannity, you always talk about every 2 and 4 years, racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, misogynistic, and dirty air, water. And by the way, Obama once said Republicans, their plan is for dirty air, dirty water. You know, and of course, we're going to throw granny over the cliff and kill children. That's the way Republicans are portrayed. Now, it's their playbook, but their playbook is slander. Their playbook is full of lies. You know, Republicans, if you go before a predominantly black audience and say they don't even want to count you in the census. I don't want to play it. They don't even want to count you in the census. That's a lie. Or Republicans, if you elect them in Missouri, crosses are going to burn. It's a lie. You know, we have all this identity politics. Look at, is America better off today than it was 2 years ago when you, the American people, elected Trump? By every measure, yes. And look at the trade deal that no one's going to spend any time talking about today at all, which, the president, who was going to start trade wars with the rest of the world, actually got a better deal for American manufacturers, you know, those jobs that are never coming back, that we now have a 30-year high of those jobs coming back. CNBC, Trump, North American trade deal is a new dawn for the U.S. auto industry. This is great for American farmers. It's great for American manufacturers. It's great for our auto industry. You know, a lot of my conservative friends, they'd all say the same thing. I don't like his position on trade. And I'm telling you, I said to them all, you don't know him like I do. Everything in Donald Trump's life is a negotiation. If you don't say to Canada and Mexico that you're pulling out, if you don't take a strong stand and make them believe it, you know, they walked Prime Minister Trudeau to the final hour last night, grabbing concessions so that America got a much better deal than we had with NAFTA. And the same, nobody thought it would happen with the new president of Mexico. And nobody thought that we could get NATO to step up and pay more, considering we pay over 70 cents of every dollar for defending NATO and a NATO alliance. And nobody thought that our Western European allies that were balking and complaining and hemming and hawing that Donald Trump wants better trade deals with our partners, nobody thought that could happen. If you don't say you're going to start a trade war, if you don't say it and act like you mean it, you're not going to get concessions. And the fact is, no American president prior to him even dared broach the subject. And meanwhile, we see manufacturing jobs leaving states like Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. And for all the talk and hatred of Donald Trump's style, the fact that he breaks a lot of dishes to get things done, and he says a lot of things to negotiate. Are we better off than we were 2 years ago? Are Hispanic Americans better off? African Americans, women in the workforce better off? Youth unemployment, 14 states unemployment, low unemployment records. These are all records. Consumer confidence, Wall Street, by every objective discernible measure, we're doing better. And results should matter. But in 36 days, Democrats are hoping that they've created enough smoke and enough mirrors. What did they do in 8 years when Obama was president? Their policies failed on a spectacular level. And if I had time, I'd get back into it. Let me tell you, it was never going to be limited in scope, this investigation, ever. It was never going to be, you know, just a week. That's all. No, that's not what they want. And when the FBI comes back and all they do is reaffirm what, under penalty of a felony, the four people in the Professor Ford case that said either they don't remember or it didn't happen, like the case of the one eyewitness she said was in the room when the alleged incident happened, they're not going to be happy. And they're going to try and stretch out even further and ask for more investigations. They're going to find one little nugget that says, because the FBI doesn't give recommendations, the FBI is not going to give, they're just going to give, okay, this is what they said. Because they don't have any authority in this particular case. You know, and now we've got to look into all three claims, even the Avenatti claim. You know, you would believe 36 years ago, routinely on weekends, that boys were drugging girls and then lining up in the halls waiting to, you know, rape, gang rape these young women. Because that's what the woman said. And that's what they want to investigate now. It is seemingly having an impact, according to the Remington Research Group, 48% in Missouri, likely voters planning to vote for the Republican candidate, Josh Hawley, 46% said they plan to vote for McCaskill. But then the question of McCaskill's opposition to Kavanaugh, whether it is impacting their vote, 49% said it made them less likely to vote for McCaskill. I think Democrats are going to be watching those kind of numbers very closely. Look, their hope is this. They hope they've created enough smoke and fire over Russia. Still no evidence whatsoever. They hope that they create enough smoke and fire here that they can make this all about Election Day and that you'll forget how awful it was under Obama and that you won't get up. You voted for Trump, but most people don't go out in midterms. Midterm elections are about those people that show up motivating your base to get out there. If you want Nancy Pelosi as your speaker and Chuck Schumer as your majority leader, you'll get the government you deserve. If you want to tune in on election night in 36 days, 5 weeks from tomorrow, and hear Nancy Pelosi's the speaker and Chuck Schumer's the Senate majority leader. If, by the way, Mitch McConnell's railing about Ford was not told of the chairman's offers. That's interesting. Why did they keep that from her? That was an interesting sidebar. There is, I know that Tom Cotton and Lindsey Graham want to investigate Dianne Feinstein now. Why did she hold this for 6 weeks? Would have had plenty of time, by the way. That was six extra weeks to investigate. Why did they hold it? Because they wanted to create this crisis at this time. But no, there's a lot at stake in this upcoming election. Now, we did have the case. What is the woman's name? Rachel Mitchell was the one that was asking questions for the Republicans in the Senate of Professor Ford, and she did a very strong analysis of the case. She said, in the legal context, here is my bottom line. A he said, she said case is incredibly difficult to prove, but this case is even weaker than that, she said. Dr. Ford identified other witnesses to the event, and those witnesses either refuted her allegations or failed to corroborate them. For the reasons discussed below, I do not think a reasonable prosecutor would bring this case based on the evidence before the committee, nor do I believe that the evidence is sufficient to satisfy a preponderance of evidence standard even. And, you know, that's a pretty powerful statement. Now we have, what else do we have here? So we've got some other blue state numbers that are really interesting to watch. There's a lot of reasons why in New Jersey, this is surprising to me, Democratic Senator Rob Menendez is having a tough time getting reelected. This is not a state anybody's been paying a lot of attention to. It didn't help him this weekend when he used Professor Ford's allegations to bash Brett Kavanaugh, and he tweeted out Sunday or Saturday, the details of Professor Ford's testimony are heart-wrenching to hear. I hope every single senator not only watches but listens. And 2 days later, the Politico had a headline, shock poll shows a dead heat in Menendez's Senate race in New Jersey. And by the way, you know, think Christy Todd Whitman and what's the name of the past governor? Christy himself, Chris Christie, and then Christy Todd Whitman Christie. A lot of Christies in New Jersey. But anyway, it was 45-43. Within the margin of error in New Jersey. Grassley is urging the Justice Department to now prosecute in the case of the man who falsely accused Brett Kavanaugh of raping an acquaintance after Senate Democrat Sheldon Whitehouse helped publicize that bogus allegation. You've got in the case of Michael Avenatti's client, it was a CBS News report that the woman, Swetnick, has an extensive history, these are CBS's words, not mine, of involvement in legal disputes, including a lawsuit in which an ex-employer accused her of falsifying her college and work history in a job application. We have Gerald Nadler previewing coming attractions if we ever give these guys back power, and he's saying that he'd likely be the House Judiciary Committee chairman if, in fact, the Democrats get control of the House, and he wants lawmakers to investigate any credible allegations. You want to give him that power? You want to give Maxine Waters that power? Lindsey Graham has now vowed to conduct a full-scale investigation into Dianne Feinstein, which I think is the right thing to do. Why would she sit on this? Why didn't she tell law enforcement? Why did she sit next to Kavanaugh? Why was she making recommendations for lawyers for Professor Ford? You have a top aide to Florida's Democratic candidate for governor calling for Trump's execution. Well, that was a Fox News report. Youth outreach staffer on the Gillum campaign has been terminated after calling for the president's death on Twitter. Kellyanne Conway gave an interview this weekend in which she revealed she is a sexual assault survivor. And she says, I feel very emphatic, frankly, for victims of sexual assault. Well, any human being with a soul would. And sexual harassment and rape. And she says, I'm a victim of this. Which all of us know that there are predators out in this world. I keep talking about evil in this world. There's a lot of evil. But getting to the truth is separate and apart. Equal justice is important. Due process is important. The presumption of innocence is important. The rule of law matters.
And the reason I'd like it to go quickly, very simple. It's so simple. Because it's unfair to him at this point. What his wife is going through, what his beautiful children are going through, is not describable. It's not describable. It's not fair. I think it's fair to do it to me because, you know, I've been going from day one. I've been from long before I got to office. You've been doing it. It's almost became, I think for me, it's like a part of my job description to handle this crap. Frankly, you take a look at, they're bringing up subjects. We would know about this over the last 20 years, 30 years of his career. You know, what happened? They're going back to high school, and they're saying he drank a lot one evening in high school. I tell you what, I happen to know some United States senators. One who is on the other side, who's pretty aggressive. I've seen that person in very bad situations, okay? I've seen that person in very, very bad situations, somewhat compromising. And, you know, I think it's very unfair to bring up things like this. However, whatever the senators want is okay with me. They're going to be making a decision. Whatever they want is okay with me. Go ahead. For 15 years, he said he was a war hero. He fought in Da Nang province. We call him Da Nang Richard. Da Nang, that's his nickname, Da Nang. He never went to Vietnam. And he's up there saying, we need honesty and we need integrity. This guy lied when he was the Attorney General of Connecticut. He lied. I don't mean a little bit. And then when he got out, he actually dropped out of the race and he won anyway because Democrats always win in Connecticut. He won very close, probably the closest ever. But here's the guy lied, and now he's up there talking like he's holier than thou. You know what? Take a look at his record. And when he got out and when he apologized, he was crying. The tears were all over the place. And now he acts like, how dare you? Take a look at the judge who has led an exemplary life. I mean, you're going back to high school because he had beer? I think the judge has been pretty amazing about describing his situation with alcohol and with beer. I mean, take a look at Cory Booker. He ran Newark, New Jersey into the ground. He was a horrible mayor, and he made statements that when he was in high school or college, what he was doing, he actually made the statements. And now he's talking about Judge Kavanaugh. And I could go through a whole list of them, okay? So look at Dianne Feinstein. You're telling me about time. Dianne Feinstein knew about this 2 months earlier. If she wanted a really thorough investigation, we had all the time in the world. She didn't have to wait till after the hearing was closed, essentially. She should have said, listen, I have a problem. I have this report. I'd like the FBI to look at it while we're doing the hearings. We had 2 months. No, she didn't do that. She waited till we were closed. And then she probably leaked it. But, you know, who am I to say? Go ahead.
In a tweet this weekend, Mr. President, you said that it's incorrect to say you're limiting the scope of the FBI investigation.
What does that have to do with trade? I don't mind answering the question, but, you know, I'd like to do the trade question.
It has to do with the other headline in the news, which is the Kavanaugh nomination.
I know, but how about talking about trade, and then we'll get to that. We'll do that a little bit later.
Do you think the trade...
Anybody have a trade?
Do you
think
your trade deal will pass through Congress, sir?
I think so, but, you know, if it doesn't, we have lots of other alternatives. But I do think so. I think if they're fair... Which is a big question, but if it's fair on both sides, the Republicans love it, industry loves it, our country loves it. If it's fair, it will pass. I think it'll pass easily.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, as we're back in the swamp. We're back in D.C. A lot of breaking news. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Well, what was supposed to be last week, limited in scope and done very quickly, is now evolved into Democratic senators. Oh, the FBI must investigate all three credible allegations of sexual assault against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. By the way, why didn't they ask Judge Kavanaugh when they had the opportunity last week if they now want to expand the scope? Now, the interesting thing about this email is, well, they're now putting out a list of, we got to interview this one and this one and this one and this one and this one, including that anonymous person and this anonymous person, that they're literally trying to tell the FBI how to do their job. And we found out this weekend emails were sent late last week by a friend of this left-wing attorney that's representing Professor Ford. That's the one that didn't believe Paula Jones and supported Al Franken. Anyway, but a friend of hers last week, you remember, Dianne Feinstein recommended this attorney Katz, Deborah Katz, for Professor Ford. And, of course, while she was meeting Dianne Feinstein with Brett Kavanaugh. Anyway, it turns out that they're now soliciting members of the Georgetown prep community for information and searching for additional women to accuse Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh of impropriety. This is what you would call a witch hunt. This is now we don't have enough. So let's see. Let's go out and solicit people and see if we can find people that are willing to say something horrible about Brett Kavanaugh, because maybe that's the way we'll be able to stop the nomination. We got a delay like we wanted. Now we're going to be able to get everything that we want. Newt Gingrich asks a great question. Is there even one Democrat decent enough or disgusted enough to end this Kavanaugh travesty? And he joins us now. Sir, how are you? Welcome back to the program.
Well, I'm doing well, but I was very struck this morning by Byron York's column in which he points out that the Democrats, having decided that sex may not work, are now looking at whether or not Kavanaugh might have been inaccurate in describing how much he drank. So they're spreading it wider. And frankly, in an age when Justice Ginsburg was very political in some attacks on President Trump, the Democrats are trotting out judicial temperament. This whole thing is... It is character assassination. It is, I think, tremendously bad for the country. And it is, it tells us who they are. I mean, I think the key to the election this fall is, which America do you want to be? Do you really want to be an America where somebody can live a decent life for 35 years, have two lovely daughters, a good marriage, and then get smeared unendingly with totally uncorroborated assaults? Is that really the America we want to become?
You know, the judge was honest as could be. He said, I like beer. I drink beer. I drank beer then. Sometimes I drank too much beer. He denied ever blacking out. I mean, the accusation that somebody could observe someone. Well, he had to black out that night. I was a bartender when I was 17 and 18 years old, and I've seen a lot of drunk people in my life. And I couldn't tell you whether or not they remembered the incident the next day, and it wouldn't be me in the position of saying that. But what they're doing is they're moving the bar. This is what you're saying. The goalposts now are being literally moved every second, every hour of every day. And now that we have people working on behalf of the Dianne Feinstein recommended lawyer, Deborah Katz, and sending out letters saying we need more people, it sounds like they never want this to end. And I don't think there is going to be a Democrat to answer your question that's going to be decent enough or disgusted enough to end it.
Well, let me try to be very clear for a minute, because I'm frankly very disappointed in the Judiciary Republicans just denying reality. The fact is, this is nothing to do with traditional government. This has nothing to do with the Senate. This has nothing to do, frankly, with Judge Kavanaugh. This is about a militant left-wing group willing to lie, assassinate, smear, cheat. I mean, when you have a mob that goes into a restaurant to harass Senator Cruz, when you have two women who break into an elevator to harass a senator, over and over and over again, what you have on the left is a willingness to break the rules to get what they want. And I think that it's a very serious problem.
You know, it does raise a lot of questions, because at this point, I don't think if we're going to go back to high school years, you know, when people talk, and I watched a lot of this weekend, you know, two commentators actually saying this is Sean Hannity could have given this speech. And I'm thinking, okay, how is one supposed to act when they're falsely accused of literally drugging women and boys lined up in the halls over the course of many weekends, as the boys can then take their chance at gang raping women and being a participant in that? I don't know what the significant or normal reaction would be, but for me, if you're innocent, it would be righteous anger and indignation. That to me would be the normal human response if you're innocent.
Right. Well, let me play historian for a minute, because I spent the weekend thinking about what we're living through. When, you know, Cory Booker says that you're complicit with evil if you support Kavanaugh. Just to give you an example. You're getting, you know, when Blumenthal, who, you know, as the president was pointing out, has this terrible record of overtly publicly lying about having served in Vietnam when he didn't. Now, suddenly he's lecturing us on the importance of honesty and integrity. As I thought about it, I went back and found the following quote from Abraham Lincoln, which he gave at Cooper Union in New York City in 1860, speaking about the defenders of slavery who were prepared to destroy the Union. He says, quote, "Your purpose then, plainly stated, is that you will destroy the government unless you be allowed to construe and enforce the Constitution as you please on all points in dispute between you and us. You will rule or ruin in all events," close quote. Now, the reason I brought that up, Sean, is I really believe that's where we are. I think on the left you have people like Maxine Waters, who, remember, if they get a majority, she chairs a committee. I mean, she's not some random backbench nutcake. She's a senior member of the Democratic Party leadership, and she is publicly saying to people, you go out and find members of the Trump administration, you harass them in the stores, you harass them at the gas station, you harass them at a restaurant. What kind of country is that?
Well, they're telling everybody to do it. Now they're out on a fishing expedition, and what they promised last week, which would be limited in scope and, you know, in an expedited time frame, is now, you know, they're expanding it out even longer and longer and longer, which means what we've all suspected. They just want to stop this no matter how they end up doing it. But the point is, I think you're right. But I also think that there's got to be a choice that is made here by the American people. Because if you can smear and lie and slander and bludgeon a guy like Brett Kavanaugh and go on these fishing expeditions and you're not even hiding what it is, nobody's ever going to want to serve in any capacity in government ever.
Well,
or not the people we want.
Look, people should remember, when you get to the totalitarian hysteria of the left, if they can do it to Kavanaugh, they can do it to you. They can do it to your daughter. They can do it to your son. I mean, this is what happened to the Duke lacrosse team. A total lie, a total fabrication. It spent over a year as a cloud over these young men who had done nothing. And so you turn around and the left is very adept at this. They believe in bullying. They believe in intimidation. They don't think the truth matters. What matters is power. And I think people need to understand, this election is a choice about which America we're going to become. It's a much bigger choice than just the president. This is literally about, are we going to reward people who are this destructive and who are willing to cripple their own country in order to get power? Or are we going to repudiate them and insist on people who, frankly, are getting this results? I mean, if you think of this as an election of results versus resistance, look at today's news about Canada and Mexico. Once again, the president has a breakthrough. Once again, something's being done to create more jobs in America. That ought to be a good thing, and we ought to be able to celebrate it without left-wingers screaming at us.
Well, there's not been one good thing this president has done or has been covered by a news media that is obsessed daily with just smearing and slandering Donald Trump. This is just an extension of Trump in this particular case. We'll pick it up on the election side. I want to ask you one question about that. These midterms now in 36 short days, I call it the most important midterms in our lifetime, and I'll explain why when we get back. Right, as we continue, a former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is with us. He'll join us on Hannity tonight. We'll be broadcasting from the nation's capital again, as this will turn out to be a historic week one way or the other. Mr. Speaker, 36 days is Election Day, and I will tell you, there's something I've never, ever in a lot of years now witnessed the anger and the level of anger that exists on behalf of the Republicans and conservatives and the base over all these tactics against Brett Kavanaugh. Is that enough for Republicans to win? I'd love to see a contract with America and promises made by these Republicans to ensure people they're not wasting their vote.
Yeah, look, I think there are three clear steps here. One is to communicate, as you just did, that this is about America. This is the most important midterm election in my lifetime, and I think will be decisive in whether we keep going forward or we return to this left-wing fanaticism. Second, it really is a contest between results and resistance, and whether people want to continue to create jobs, to do the things that work, to move in the right direction, or go back to the failed policies of the 8 years of Obama. And then third, I think the Republicans should have, and I hope by next week will have, a set of very positive, think of it as a pledge, of if we're elected, here are the next steps we're going to take. Here are the next good things that are going to happen. And I think that there are enough things working between the administration and the House and Senate Republicans that we can put together a very good, positive campaign. So it's a three-part campaign. Which America do you want? Results versus resistance, and a commitment to an even better next 2 years.
All right, Mr. Speaker, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time, as always. 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. When we come back, my colleague, my friend from the Fox News Channel, Tucker Carlson, will check in with us. We'll get his take on the news of the day and much more straight ahead as we continue from the swamp, the sewer, D.C., straight ahead.
This crap, when you referred to, I've been dealing with this crap for years. What did you mean?
Oh, I think the press has treated me unbelievably unfairly. In fact, when I won, I said, the good thing is now the press finally gets it. Now they'll finally treat me fairly. They got worse. They're worse now than ever. They're loco, but that's okay. I put up with it. The interesting thing is, though, nobody asked him about what's happened in the last 25, 30 years during his professional career, because there were no bad reports. I mean, there are bad reports on everybody in here. Most of the people sitting down, they're bad, except for Mike Pence, by the way. And now for you Democrats, and I guess I'm including you too, the media, right? I consider you a part of the Democrat Party. But for you, for the Democrats, to be talking about we want more time for the FBI. If you wanted more time for the FBI, why didn't Dianne Feinstein bring this up? I really believe that he was very strong on the fact that he drank a lot. And so I don't know where there'd be big discrepancy.
Okay, so
yes, go ahead,
so
please.
Just to wrap up, can you promise
you know
to
what?
Release
you've really
the
had
FBI's
enough.
Report?
Hey, you've had enough.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. We're in our nation's capital, the sewer, the swamp, Washington, D.C. Toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Obviously, a lot happening here this week, 36 days until these all-important midterm elections. My friend and colleague from the Fox News Channel is with us, Tucker Carlson. He's got a brand new book out, by the way. It's called Ship of Fools, How a Selfish Ruling Class is Bringing America to the Brink of Revolution. Are we really getting to the brink of a revolution in this sense? I mean, look, it's only happened three times in the last 100 years where a party wins the White House, power in the White House, and they don't have losses in the next midterm election year. The last time was right after 9/11, 2001. George Bush was president. But I've got to imagine people are pretty pissed off at the it was 2 weeks ago yesterday, and nobody had heard one bad thing about Brett Kavanaugh until 2 weeks ago yesterday. And look where we are today. Tucker, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. Well, yeah, I mean, look, Kavanaugh is being destroyed not because of anything he did or didn't do, but because he's in the way of the Democrats retaining power. I mean, it's not personal. It's just the party wants what he's about to get, and so they're crushing him and his family in order to get it. Are we moving to a revolution? Well, I don't know. Look at the people in charge. Look at the Congress. Look at our media. They're pushing conflict and division on us. They're pushing racial division endlessly. They're pushing gender division. They're claiming that the Kavanaugh saga is a reason that women should hate men and vice versa. Yeah. I mean, they're pushing disunity because a disunified country is easier for them to control. That's divide and conquer. It's the oldest strategy there is.
Well, you know, look, I've chronicled this historically over the course of my career, and that is it's pretty predictable. Every 2 and 4 years, every election cycle, Republicans are racist, sexist. I won't give the whole list, but they want to throw granny over the cliff. And now with Supreme Court justices, if they have an opening, there seems to be no there's nothing they won't say or do now. I mean, you have friends of the attorney for Professor Katz, you know, Dianne Feinstein recommended, who herself is pretty radical left, now soliciting people from the Georgetown prep community, whatever that is, and asking if they have information or they want to come forward. They're soliciting people. And the FBI now is being told by Democrats, well, it's got to be wide in scope and it's got to go on for as long as need be, which is the opposite of the so-called agreement between Senator Coons and Senator Snowflake last week.
Exactly. I mean, Republicans, bless their hearts, are so literal that they fall for this stuff every single time. And they feel that they have to debate the details of this or that case when actually there's nothing to do with the details or with justice itself. This is a tactic designed to hold on to power. When Ron DeSantis and Andrew Gillum got the nominations for governor in Florida, my very first thought was DeSantis is going to be a racist. You watch this. He has to be. They're going to paint him as one. Within 24 hours, they flip around. He used some harmless phrase. Next thing you know, the lead of every show, Ron DeSantis is a racist. You knew that was going to happen because it had to happen.
Hey, Tucker, there were 1998 a radio ad in Missouri by the Democratic Party said, if you elect Republicans, black crosses are going to be burnt on people's, lawns.
I remember
James,
it well.
The James Byrd ad, I mean, Al Gore telling a predominantly black audience Republicans have the wrong agenda for African Americans. They don't even want to count you in the census at all. And just really outrageous claims. And, one of the things I'd like to see come out of this, that what has now become a predictable tactic, that they get called out on this. Brett Kavanaugh, up until 2 weeks ago yesterday, was a gentleman's gentleman. And now all of these allegations, all of these solicitations. And it doesn't matter, like, if Michael Avenatti is making the claim that 36 years ago that there was a gang of boys that were routinely drugging girls and then waiting in line to gang and trail rape them. And that this was happening with a regular occurrence, but nobody said it at the time. Nobody told the teacher, a law enforcement official, a parent, that it just kept going on and was covered up for this long. Because I know where I went to school, if one kid got in trouble for anything, everybody knew within seconds.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, his client is alleging that she went to 9 consecutive public gang rapes in a row and never said anything to anybody. No one else did either. And she, on the 10th one, was raped herself and didn't say a single word about it for 37 years. Okay. I don't have time for that, actually. There's a whole country with all sorts of real problems to address and tend to. What you really have to be a Republican senator to think you had to take that seriously. These people fall for the same gag every single time. It's Lucy in the football. And you have, like, the senator from Arizona is like, no, really, we need to give this a hearing. Really, if there are plausible claims being made, yes, they should be investigated. This is a guy who's had 6 FBI investigations into his background in the space of 20 years, who had a clearance that allowed him the codes to the nuclear arsenal. He was that vetted, and yet we need another on the basis of claims that have no substantiation at all. I mean, I'm not attacking Christine Ford. I'm just making the obvious point. She claims that this happened. She named 4 people she says were present. All 4 say it didn't happen, and no one has the brass to ask follow-up questions. And I mean, look, it's a joke is what's actually happening. It's a joke. And only the Republicans in the Senate don't know it's a joke.
Well, this is the point. Either some said they had no recollection ever of anything like that ever happening or being at any party. In the case of her best friend, she said, well, I don't doubt what Professor Ford is saying, but I don't have any recollection. But also Professor Ford identified one person, and that was Mark Judge. And Mark Judge having been in the room when this alleged assault took place. And he has said over and over again, that's not true. Now, they made statements under penalty of felony, and if they, so when the FBI goes back to them, if they change their story, they would be admitting to committing a felony. So I'm not really expecting a whole lot to change here, except now the Democrats have put out a statement earlier today, and they are now demanding all the witnesses telling the FBI how to do their job. And meanwhile, when they had a chance last week to talk about Ms. Ramirez or Michael Avenatti's client, they passed and they punted and they didn't bring it up. But now they want to extend it into that aspect. And
But why are we playing along with this? I mean, they actually Democrats.
I can tell you why, because Jeff Flake and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, they wanted this extra work done. It was supposed to be limited in scope and just a limited amount of time. It didn't turn out that way.
Jeff Flake is not in control of the Senate. They could pass it without Flake. And where are the leaders other than, and I hate to say it, but Lindsey Graham seems to be the only person willing to tell the truth. But where are the rest? Where are the other 19 Republican senators out there on television making a case, not just for Brett Kavanaugh, but for common sense and presumption of innocence? Like, where are these people? And they control the United States Senate. They haven't passed any of the agenda, pretty much, that the president ran on. They're giving the finger to their own voters. And on this one thing, they can't just tell the truth. Why is that so hard? What are they afraid of exactly? I don't understand.
What do you think? Now, you've been in cable news a long time. You were back in the Crossfire days. I think you even had a stint shortly at MSNBC. I don't know how that worked out for you, but...
I got fired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they are a one-opinion network, and that's it. And it's all conspiracy, all hate Trump all the time. But now you've been doing really well on the Fox News channel, and your show's doing really well. And... What is the difference that you think has happened with cable news today? I mean, we're on the opinion side of things, and Fox obviously has a news division, but I kind of look at what I do as a talk show host as being the entire newspaper. We report news. Sometimes it's straight news. We even do investigative reporting. Other days we give strong opinions. Other interviews we have people give opinion. We do sports. We do culture, pop culture. It's to me, it's the whole newspaper. All these other people claim to be reporters, and they're anything but.
We break a lot of news on our show, and we have reporters working on the show. Their only job is to find new things, to flesh them out, do interviews. I mean, I have been in this my whole life. It's what my family did. I don't feel insecure about, you know, what you're not a journalist, whatever. I don't care what you call me. But we bring new facts to light every night, and I see our job more than anything is trying to explain what this means. It's a really confusing time. I wrote a whole book about it. That's what the book is. How did we get here? Why did this happen? Why did Trump get elected? What Putin didn't get him elected. Grow up. What actually happened? And what actually happened was the people in charge made a series of incredibly dumb decisions about our culture, our economy, our foreign policy. They never said sorry, and they never learned anything. And so voters got mad and punished them, and good for them. Why wouldn't they? So that's what I think my job is to explain what this means. And I think, you know, maybe you disagree, but I think that's a valuable thing to do right now.
No, I think, and the other thing is, I'm a believer in strong opinion, but at least we're honest about it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, for example, there'll be days on this radio show when all we're doing is reporting news, same on TV. There'll be other days we're doing investigative reporting. There are days I'm just giving opinions and taking calls from people that have opinions. And that's what it's all under the umbrella of being a talk show host. You know, people say, well, Hannity, you even said you're not a journalist. No, but I do journalism. It's part of what I do, but we don't just do that. Anyway, Tucker.
Do you think it's a little bit weird that, like, all the attention that we get, there's like 9 people in the media who disagree with the prevailing storyline and they need to be crushed and silenced? Why is that?
There are less than 9, Tucker. There's a handful.
Right.
There's a handful of us, Tucker. There's not that many. And by the way, there's an orchestrated effort and millions of dollars being spent to shut down anybody that dares to not hold that prevailing left-wing view. But anyway, we're putting it up on Hannity on the website, Hannity.com. The Ship of Fools, How a Selfish Ruling Class is Bringing America to the Brink of Revolution. Tucker Carlson is with us. His show every night, weeknights, 8 p.m., preceding Hannity on the Fox News Channel. And you're going to be a guest on one of our panels tonight. We look forward to having you.
I can't wait. Thank you, Sean.
All right, Tucker, thank you. Hannity.com, Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. All right, let's go to our busy phones. Eric is in Florida. Eric, hi. How are you? And welcome to the Sean Hannity Show from the swamp, the sewer that is Washington, D.C.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on. And I'm glad you had Tucker on there earlier. I grew up watching he and Pat Buchanan on Crossfire. It reminded me of my dad who he just died a few weeks ago. And so I think you'd be happy me calling in and getting onto your show. So.
I appreciate it. You know, Crossfire was a defining show in the history of political debate in the country, and Pat Buchanan and Braden and all those original guys, it was an amazing show at its time.
Yeah, so I can empathize with Brett Kavanaugh. I was one of those middle school nerds that, you know, was probably watching those types of shows and doing those things that people want to mock now. But in any event, I think there's a silver lining potentially to the FBI investigation. Number one, first of all, we're conservatives. We have a moral compass. If we do detect that there's something wrong, then he should be thrown overboard. That's number one. Okay, that without being said, but that's not going to be found. That being said, it's an opportunity for the Republicans to investigate further and turn the lens on the Democrats and some of their dirty tricks and use the power. Not that anybody should be abusing the power, but the FBI should use its power to investigate everything that's going on here, and potentially witnesses being coached to lie, people being put forward to sign false affidavits. There's obviously a lot of that funny business going on. I don't think Democrats ever thought that Republicans were going to allow such an investigation.
Well, I don't think it, look, if we're going to be fair, if they really cared about the issue, then they'd be asking, what about Keith Ellison? And why were they supportive of Bill Clinton? Where's Juanita Broderick's FBI investigation? They don't want any of these things because it's not the issue. It's politics. The greatest evidence that it's politics. Anyway, appreciate the call. We'll have the latest on Brett Kavanaugh. Carrie Severino is going to join us next. We're going to spend a lot of time taking your calls. Final hour of the program. News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. As we continue from Washington, Hannity tonight, we've got a very important show, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue.
It is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
The American Bar Association, who again strongly recommended Brett Kavanaugh, said just hold on. And again, think about how preposterous it is that Trump, McConnell, Graham, all of these men are saying we have to rush to a vote now.
Yep.
We have to move this as quickly as
they're
possible.
They're really going to vote today.
It is, yep. This guy could be on the court until 2050.
Mm-hmm.
2050, and they can't wait for an FBI investigation.
I wish Judge Kavanaugh would have pointedly supported a short pause for an FBI investigation for the benefit of clearing his own name.
I have proposed and talked to some of my colleagues, and I know others have as well, as a finite period for an FBI investigation, maybe a week.
maybe a week, finite period, limited in scope. And now we have out of the United States Senate, Democratic senators, well, FBI must investigate all three credible allegations of sexual assault against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And then they give a long list of even anonymous people telling the FBI how to do their job. The second that Jeff Flake and the Republicans agreed to this, that second, they literally moved the bar. They literally changed the rules, which we predicted would happen. And by the time we eventually get the FBI report, it's probably going to be much more. Now they want to talk about his temperament. How is somebody supposed to act if you're innocent? If you are innocent and you're being accused by one of the, quote, three credible people that you routinely participated in drugging women in high school and having boys lined up in the hall ready to gang rape innocent girls and train rape them is what they call it. How is somebody supposed to act if they didn't do any of this? What is that? And then they're saying, well, let's look about perjury. He might have he said he had to have blacked out. Well, how do you determine whether or not somebody drank so much that he blacked out? Now, he admitted that he liked beer. He still likes beer. He admitted at times he drank too much beer, like most kids in high school and college at some point do it, overdo it. He wasn't hiding anything as with regards to that. And then it gets even worse as you've got emails. Remember the attorney that was recommended by Dianne Feinstein, this woman, Deborah Katz, for Professor Ford. Remember, she was actually recommending Deborah Katz while she was meeting privately with Brett Kavanaugh, but not telling Brett Kavanaugh about any of these allegations whatsoever. Remember that? Anyway, well, Deborah Katz is the one that, well, she didn't really believe Paula Jones, and she did take Al Franken's side. And, you know, you've got to watch this. There's no end to this now. They are not going to stop until they get a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh. That's just this. This should not surprise anybody. And Jeff Flake is now in Massachusetts today trying to run for president, thinking he's going to, which, by the way, is the way to do it. You don't like Trump, go beat him. In 36 days, Democrats, they'll make their case and they're going to ask you to give the House of Representatives to Nancy Pelosi and the Senate to the Democrats, to Chuck Schumer. If that's what you want on election night in 36 days and you want to turn on the TV and find out the results, if you stay home, well, you'll get the government you deserve. We always do. If you want all progress that we have now achieved in 2 years to stop, that'll happen too. But all these senators saying, well, no, we got to limit the scope and it's got to be very quick, expeditious, and just have the FBI do this. That's not what they ever intended. They want this to drag on through the midterm elections in the hope that Donald Trump doesn't get to make a Supreme Court nomination. Anyway, joining us now is Carrie Severino. She's the Chief Counsel Policy Director for the Judicial Crisis Network. Welcome back to the program. Well, as predicted, the bar has shifted, and now the Democrats want an extensive FBI investigation. But from my standpoint, as it relates to Professor Ford, there's really only four people that need to be interviewed, and I would assume by now all four of them probably were.
I'm sure they were. It was easy to find people because they already had been interviewed by the Senate Judiciary Committee. Look, the goalposts are moving faster than the speed of light here. It's very difficult to believe that any of these people could take themselves seriously. They said, it's going to be 4 days. We just need a week. And now they're going, what? An artificial deadline? You know, they were saying the FBI is the gold standard. They are impartial. They're, you know, Schumer said this. Every Democrat said this. Now they're going, oh, but Trump is this evil puppet master controlling the FBI. They're actually going to be this horrible partisan organization. You know, it would be laughable if it wasn't a man's lifelong reputation here on the line.
Two weeks ago, as far as everybody else knew, Brett Kavanaugh had an impeccable reputation. That's gone forever. Ray Donovan famously once said after being investigated for a year and a half, where do I go to get my good name back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, I don't think Brett Kavanaugh ever gets it back. And in many, many ways, I mean, Clarence Thomas will forever be remembered because of the last-minute accusations of Anita Hill.
Yeah, it's very discouraging. Although I have to say, I do get some, you know, someone who clerked for Justice Thomas and knows the why. He you know, there's a certain category of people who are going to just simply use that as their excuse to discount him. But they would have discounted him because they disagree with him anyway. And he is someone who it does command an incredible amount of respect on the bench. Judge Kavanaugh is the kind of person where even when he was on the D.C. Circuit as a lower court judge, the Supreme Court said it saw him as someone to really take seriously. You know, more than a dozen times, like up to 14 different times we've found now, they vindicated his opinions. They had a huge amount of respect for him. I don't think that's going to change. I think they are not going to be watching this with the same knee-jerk partisan responses, I hope, that we're seeing some of these people have. But it, yeah, I think
well,
you're absolutely
you,
right,
you know,
though. In terms
too.
Of the broader reputation, no.
If you read James Comey's New York Times piece that he came out with, to me, it's absolutely stunning in the things that he's saying because, you know, well, the FBI's back in the middle of it when we handled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Well, he was writing an exoneration himself prior to the real investigation, which didn't happen until 3 days before he publicly exonerated her. But then he goes on to trash the president at length, and then he talks about FBI agents are experts, which they are, at interviewing people and quickly dispatching leads to their colleagues around the world to follow up with additional interviews, and they will confront people with testimony and other accounts. And, you know, yes, the alleged incident occurred 36 years ago, but FBI agents know time has little to do with memory, which I found a little strange. And then, you know, for example, everybody remembers if it rained on their wedding day. I don't think that's applicable in that particular sense. Maybe to somebody who's traumatized, I could see that. But for somebody that's not traumatized, maybe not. Once they start interviewing, every witness knows the consequences, he says. It's one thing to have your lawyer submit a statement on your behalf. It's a very different thing to sit across from two FBI special agents and answer their relentless questions. Of course, the Bureau won't have subpoena power, only the ability to knock on doors and ask questions. Most people will speak to them. Now, this is what he says. Refusal to do so is its own kind of statement. Now, I want to just address that because my FBI friends, my friends in the Bureau, special agents, have all said to me, never, ever talk to the FBI unless you have a lawyer. Ever. And I'm like, why? I'm somebody that loves the FBI. I don't love the upper brass under Comey and McCabe and Strzok and Page, but the FBI the FBI people I know are the salt of the earth people. And I said, of course I'd want to help him. He goes, no. And then they say, look at what happened to General Flynn. General Flynn is accused of lying to the FBI, and the FBI didn't think he was lying to them. And it's dumb to ever talk to any law enforcement without a lawyer. That's what all my law enforcement people friends say, because it's a crime if you lie to the FBI. Let's say you said something in the Senate Judiciary investigation and it doesn't exactly match up. You could be charged with the crime of lying to the FBI. It's ridiculous.
And, you know, the irony of this is, look, his Comey's MO right now is just to try to destroy Trump with everything he can. And this is just another section in that playbook. But the irony is the exact same federal law provision that says it's a crime to lie to the FBI is the one that says it's a crime to lie to the Senate as their with their investigators. It's not just, you know, a similar penalty. It's exactly the same statutory violation. So that's just nuts. They've been kind of pretending that I guess it's playing a little bit on people's images, maybe from the movies of what the FBI does, to say that this is somehow it's going to be a separate, different thing. What they're really doing here is they're going down the same list of people the Senate Judiciary Committee has already talked to. They're getting the same statements. In some cases, they might get exactly the same statement because the FBI can't, as Comey said, can't force them to talk to them, especially if all you know is, I don't remember this, I wasn't there. They could be dealing with taking the same exact statement from the same lawyers for the same individuals. But that is all we can know just because of the nature of this old investigation. So the FBI isn't going to find anything new here. There's my prediction.
Well, yeah, but
and
now
then the Democrats
apparently
are already
spoken, they've
that's
already
why they're pivoting to other things.
They've already moved on, I guess, to Ms. Ramirez, yeah. And that's the one that came out in the New Yorker piece. And you know, that's the one where even the New York Times had said they had attempted to interview over the course of a week several dozen people. They couldn't find a single one to corroborate a story, and then saying that Ms. Ramirez contacted former Yale classmates asking them if they recalled the incident and told some of them that she could not be certain Mr. Kavanaugh was the one who exposed himself, which at that point tells me, you know, what are they investigating here? If she's asking if she's telling other people she doesn't know, what are they investigating?
The more shocking thing is even right in this, you know, right before this whole most recent phase exploded, I think it was the morning of the vote, she actually, her lawyer was telling people she's not even still sure it was him. She says, well, I'm positive he was in the room. You know, I'm positive he adjusted his pants, whatever that means. But so, but I can't say for certainty it is him. So if even after talking to her lawyers for 6 days to kind of work up her memories that she didn't have when she initially talked to the New Yorker, because they also said she couldn't say for sure he was there when they initially talked to her. I'm impressed they're even counting this one as a credible allegation. But you know what? Go for it. The FBI can talk to her. They'll get their statement. And I think this is, look, if the people, if they're a senator,
well, they don't make any conclusions and they don't make any recommendations. They're just going to give very.
They'll hand over the information.
That's it. The 302s, yeah. And maybe we'll get those 302s. We've been waiting for 302s forever as it relates to Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele and what was said in those conversations. All right. Carrie Severino is with us, Chief Counsel, Policy Director, Judicial Crisis Network. Thank you for being with us, Carrie. We appreciate your time. We're in Washington, D.C. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Hannity tonight. We got a big show, 9 Eastern. Senator Lindsey Graham, Newt Gingrich. We got a lot of good people tonight. Hope you'll tune in, and we'll have all the new information that you need. We'll get to your calls at the bottom of this half hour. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show. We're from our nation's capital as we check in with Christian is in Idaho. Christian, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention the whole double standard between victims from Clinton, President Clinton, and then how Hillary accused, ridiculed all the people that he abused. And then you got Keith Ellison, where there's plenty of evidence and accusations against him where there was no investigation, but just basically the double standards.
If they cared, you're raising a great point. If they cared about the issue, they would be demanding FBI investigations. We can go back now to Juanita Broderick, and we can certainly go back to Keith Ellison, where there's doctor reports and text messages and audio tape, maybe even a videotape of him, you know, being emotionally abusive, physically abusive towards his ex-girlfriend. So, yeah, I think that would be a consistent position for them to take, but they're never, ever going to do that, are they?
Yeah, unless it promotes the Democrat agenda.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's what it all comes down to, politics. All right, Christian, good call. We appreciate it. All right, let's go to Don is in Iowa. Don, how are you? We got about a minute. It's all yours, sir.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for continually bringing out the truth for everybody.
I'm glad to be here every day. Thank you for giving me this microphone.
Basically, all I wanted to say is the obvious of this whole case is that Ford is perfectly willing to do to Judge Kavanaugh what she has accused him of doing to her, assaulting her, him on a daily basis with this false cadence of hers and just so much fake evidence everywhere.
Listen, she identified, and there's a part of me that really sympathizes with this is such a serious issue, and I don't think we give the Republicans enough credit for how they've handled this, including the president. They handled it with the proper seriousness the topic deserves. She gave the names of four people, and none of the four can corroborate her story, including the guy that was supposed to be an eyewitness to it. At that point, you can't go any further with it, and he adamantly denies it. So it's a matter of just simple, okay, if somebody corroborated it, we'd be in a very different position today. All right, got to take a quick break. Final half hour, free-for-all hour, Sean Hannity Show, and we will continue from our nation's capital. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on Fox.
You won't hear the mainstream press talking about this stuff. Sean Hannity is on the radio.
Now, you did not, very publicly, you did not support President Trump. You did not vote for him. What does it feel like right now to be somebody, you know, the Republicans aren't happy with you. A lot of Democrats aren't happy with you. I mean, what does that feel like to be kind of the man without a country?
That's what it feels like. It does. I could never warm to the president. Long before he ran, he talked about President Obama not being a citizen. I thought that itself is disqualifying. You cannot do that. And then talked about John McCain in a derogatory way, and then talked about Mexicans in a derogatory way. And I just think that we've got to do better than that. We can't refer to our opponents, political opponents on the other side of the aisle, as losers and clowns. We have two big issues.
All right, there's Senator Snowflake, thinks he's going to be the next president of the United States. That was earlier today in Boston. I have a recommendation for Jeff Flake, who I think is at like 9% in his own home state of Arizona, admitting last night, oh, I couldn't do this if I was running for re-election. I can't be who I really am. Well, that's a problem. You're basically admitting that you're a fraud, except now that you've loosened the burden or rid yourself of the burden of facing the voters, well, now you're going to be who you really are. That's what it sounds like to me, which kind of is an admission that you've been dishonest the whole time. And so I have a suggestion. If this is a trial balloon and he's thinking about running for president, get in the game. Go run. You know, there's a way to get Supreme Court nominees through, and that is you can become the president. Then you can pick your own person. And you can do what you think is best. Then you can be as boring as you want to be as president every single day. And maybe President Trump has more personality. But you notice it's style. It always comes down to style. You cannot argue with the results. This is what the media is fixated on. This is what Never Trump is fixated on. There is an anger at the president's iconoclastic, you know, bombastic at times, you know, style. That's what it's about. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number as we continue from our nation's capital and the Sean Hannity Show studios here that we have now, considering we're moving in. Looks like we're going to have to get a place down here. I have a lot of meetings this week and a lot going on this week, which we're going to bring you the best coverage we can, as promised. By the way, congratulations to our own Linda and Sarah Carter. They have a big premiere that they've launched tonight on a brand-new documentary they put together on opioids and how the opioid epidemic and is literally in large part being fueled by our open borders, as a lot of these drugs make their way from Mexico straight on up through to the United States, small towns, big cities. You know, we have over 100 plus people dying every day. So you have a big premiere tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
When do people get to actually see it themselves? And I know on premiere night, it's not available to the public. When is it going to be available to the public?
Well, we're basically working on a deal right now. Hopefully we'll get some TV coverage from some really big shows. We're still working all of that out. Yeah. But, you know, if only we knew someone in TV that
all right,
wanted
all right.
To air
I get, it. I got the message. Well, it's a full-length, almost full-on one-hour documentary. This is a real...
It's 44 minutes.
Yeah. And, well, that's a TV hour.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you knew it was 44 minutes.
Yeah, I work in TV. I know what a TV hour is, which is the point. But it's sad because we're losing 72,000 people literally a year because of this opioid epidemic. And a lot of them are young kids. I mean, these kids, you know, they get in mom and dad or grandma or grandpa's medicine cabinet, Vicodin, Percocet, OxyContin, and they think it's fun. And the next thing they know, they're addicted and there's no more supply in granny's medicine cabinet. Then they're out buying at $80 a pill. And then they find themselves really addicted. And somebody offers a $10 bag of heroin. And now they're a heroin addict. And the recidivism rate is like 85% if you're addicted to this garbage. And they can't get off it. And then the next thing you know, they're going to buy a bag of heroin that God only knows who's putting it together. And they drop what is the equivalent of 3 grains of salt. That's how tiny it would be, of fentanyl inside of the heroin. And these kids die. And these adults are even dying.
Well, I think there's another point, too. The DEA chief was interviewed today, and he made it very clear that the biggest threat to national security is the Mexican drug cartels. So what's happening is it's not just that people always...
That was the article on the Hill. I saw that today.
Yeah, John Solomon wrote it, and John Solomon wrote this article with the DEA chief, Utom Dillon, and, you know, did this and took some of the statistics from the film that we did and just said, you know, this is very serious, and we're looking at it very closely, but there's this huge misconception that the border is just about immigration, when in fact kids are dying on the other side of the border. National security helps us both. It's not an immigration issue. It's a life or death issue. Not right or left, life or death.
I don't think
very
anybody,
different.
I don't know anyone else
sorry,
in the
did
media.
Did you hear that line?
I did. Life
really
or death.
Good.
Yes.
No. Not right or left, life or death.
I heard the line, life or death.
I thought you'd give me credit for that.
No, that was very good. Very, very catchy. But it's true. And as Eric Bolling often reminds us, this can happen to you because it's happening to a lot of people. And I don't think there's anybody listening to this program that hasn't been impacted by opioid addiction or addiction of some kind, alcoholism, but this is the worst.
But it's 192 deaths a day.
A day.
That's one,
every day.
One death every 7.5 minutes.
And by the way, and they're saving a lot of lives with Narcan, which reverses the effects of...
Right, but not fentanyl.
Not fentanyl.
That's the problem. Fentanyl is deadly, and these kids don't know it. So it's like, even if they're taking coke or Xanax, which is pretty scary for these college kids, they don't know that it's laced with fentanyl.
One time. Dead.
One time.
No, it's terrible. All right, well, congratulations.
Thank you,
and
boss.
When it becomes... Boss, when it becomes available, we will tell you how to get a hold of it. All right, as promised, let's get to our busy telephones here. As we say, I can't even read this. Lynn is in Orlando. Lynn, hi, how are you?
Hey, Sean.
What's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm sitting by the expressway waiting on you to put me on.
Well, yes, sir. We're glad we got you on. What's going on? Yeah. Don't crash now.
No, I won't, but I also worked for Bill Donovan in Athens, Alabama.
Wow, what'd you do for Bill? Bill was my first professional radio gig in, what, 1990?
Yeah, I heard you say that, and I almost, passed out when I heard that. But I did the listener appreciation radio concerts we had down at the Airstrip in Huntsville.
Yeah, I remember those.
Country radio station.
Well, he had a country radio station, then he had today's hits, yesterday's classics, WZYP, which was a big, big station at the time.
Yeah, that was the huge one. We did the one for Possum Radio is what
right.
It eventually became.
You're right.
Yeah.
My buddy Storman Norman used to work in the mornings there. He's one of the funniest guys on radio I ever knew. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He'd call into my talk show all the time, and I wouldn't even know it's him half the time.
Yeah, those are fun days. And then, of course, eating those big steaks at Fog Cutters down there on University.
Oh, you bet.
That was the best.
So what else is on your mind today?
I had a question. Have you heard any Democrats say that if the FBI investigations prove these allegations false, that they will vote for Brett Kavanaugh?
No. Maybe Joe Manchin in the end would do it. We know that Claire McCaskill's out. We know Joe Donnelly's out. I don't think Heidi Heitkamp is going to be in. The only shot at any Democrat, I think, at this point is Manchin. But you got to remember, he comes from West Virginia. That's pro-Trump 42%. And he probably wants to keep a job in 36 days. So I'm not even sure. Although I think he did vote for Neil Gorsuch, if my memory serves me well. But look, they want endless investigations here. They're out now on a fishing expedition. They want to. This is about bludgeoning and destroying at all costs. This isn't going to be limited in scope to them. This isn't going to be in a week. No artificial timelines. As soon as Jeff Snowflake said okay, then the bar got moved 1,000 times. Because that's the way the Democrats play. And Republicans fell right into the trap. And I guess if they ask for more extensions, we'll get more extensions. Well, we need to get... No. We need another investigation into this. Well, there's 15 new people that have just come out today. We've got to get to that. Gina is next. Thank you so much, Lynn. We appreciate it. Gina's in North Carolina. Gina, hi. How are you? And welcome to the sewer, the swamp known as Washington, D.C.
Thanks for taking my call, Sean. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you. What's going on?
I'm very angry with Senator Feinstein.
Well, you have a right to be.
She has totally mishandled this. I do not see how she could perform her duties and responsibilities to the Judiciary Committee and to the American people by siding with one of your constituents.
I don't get it either. She sat on this for 6 weeks. She sits privately with Judge Kavanaugh and tells him nothing about this, nothing, while simultaneously working with Professor Ford to hire an attorney who ultimately became Deborah Katz, who was a woman that really said some awful things as it relates to Paula Jones, and then she supported Al Frankenstein, the creepy senator from Minnesota at the time. So it's not the cause for Professor Ford's attorney. It's a radical left winger. And now we have friends of Deborah Katz now out there asking people in the Georgetown prep community to come forward if they have information. Well, that sounds like a fishing expedition to me. I don't think there's a person in the country that's not aware of what's happening right now as it relates to Brett Kavanaugh. And even if they didn't watch the hearings, they're very aware of what took place last week. And if they wanted to come forward, I don't know if they need letters from people to do so. That's my opinion. I think we need a full-fledged investigation. Absolutely, positively, no doubt about it. And if we don't, then we're going to, you know, look, we get the country we deserve in the end. If you like the progress that America has been making under President Trump, then you better go out and vote in 36 days. If you don't like the radicalism that you see on display now the last 15 days, 15 days ago, Brett Kavanaugh had a stellar reputation. If you don't think they're going to have endless investigations into Trump, that they don't want to impeach him, this is who they are and what they do. They can't run on their record when Obama was president for 8 years because it's a disaster. If you want the progress to continue for the country, for the forgotten men and women, I mean, we barely have time to mention that the president got, you know, incredible new deals with both Canada and Mexico, getting rid of a bad deal, NAFTA. Now, he had to break a few dishes and he had to threaten a trade war, but ultimately he got it done because these were one-sided trade deals. And so if you don't say you're willing to pull out of a deal, you're never going to get a deal done. And the president is effective at negotiating on all fronts. I don't care if it's NATO and those countries that don't pay their fair share, European ally countries of ours that have been taking advantage of us on trade issues. If you don't say you're willing to do it, nobody will believe you and nobody will move. But now he's putting America first. In 36 days, you'll decide. Their agenda is endless investigations, impeachment, open borders, eliminating ICE, keeping Obamacare, and they want their crumbs back. If you want that, then stay home. I mean, go vote for the Democrats on Election Day in 36 days. If you want progress to continue for the country and you don't want to give them this power, which they will abuse, then you can stop it. If you voted for Trump 2 years ago, everything you voted for is now in jeopardy in 36 days. They want for them, they want to redo the 2016 results. They think it was a mistake. They don't believe it happened. Somehow we were misled. And it's been 2 years, even with Republicans in power, of nonstop, never-ending smear, slander, conspiracy theories, besmirchment, bludgeoning of the president. And the media, of course, the willing accomplices, you know, every step of the way. Anyway, Gina, thank you. Let's say hi. Is it Lee is in Virginia? How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. I speak to you as a legal immigrant who proudly voted for Donald Trump.
Yes,
and
sir.
And I have to say, my wife and I have never been angrier than the spectacle we witnessed on Thursday. It was such a travesty, despicable, disgusting thing that they did to this man who 2 weeks ago was clean as a whistle and honorable as men could be. And I just want to implore your listeners, if the Republican Party does not confirm this man, we need to do for the legislative branch what we did for the executive branch in finding Donald Trump's to get in the legislative branch, because Donald Trump does not play by the Democratic playbook. So I plead with everybody that's listening to you to get out there and make the kind of difference in Congress that we made in the executive branch. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, I think that's a good call. I think there's a lot at stake. Now you get to determine, all of you. I have one vote in a state that doesn't matter. In a district, frankly, that doesn't matter. I have one vote. But if you're in an important state district, your vote's going to mean everything. I'll still go out and vote. I always do. But I'm just saying, it's in my case, it doesn't matter. We'll get the government we deserve. We'll deal with whatever's on the other side of 36 days. but you hold. You're the masters now of our own destiny here. We're the masters. All right, that's going to wrap things up from D.C. We'll be here for a majority of the week. White House now expanding the FBI investigation. We'll get reaction from Newt Gingrich. Lindsey Graham is on tonight. We have a panel of really smart experts you don't want to miss. A Hannity monologue I promise you won't get anywhere else. Tucker Carlson and much more. 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News. We hope you'll set your DVR and join us. And we'll see you tonight at 9 back here from the swamp tomorrow.